reflection is Luke. Jesus was preaching one day, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Jesus perceived their questionings. He answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to give sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose before them, and took up that on which he lay, and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God, and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." The word of the Lord from Luke 5. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law gathered round Jesus, whom they heard preaching to the crowds who followed him, particularly after the man suffering from leprosy had been cured. And here he was, being listened to by a great crowd. Shock and horror. The Pharisees and scribes saw this Jesus preaching, this breaker of their law, whom they considered a sinner because of his breaking of their laws, their petty laws, not the law of Moses, that is God's law, but those man-made laws that were so numerous and complicated that nobody could remember them all, let alone keep them. They began to think this over. Who is this man talking blasphemy? But they had already made up their minds to get rid of this dangerous man. Did Jesus use this time to show his power over body and soul, to prove that he really is the Son of God? He recognized their thoughts and their conclusions. Sin and suffering were inextricably connected in the eyes of the Pharisees and their teachings, so obviously to them the paralytic must be a sinner. But even before the sick man's friends had spoken, Jesus called the paralytic his friend, showing us that we too can call sinners our friends, for who, after all, is not a sinner? And, seeing their faith, declared that his sins are forgiven. Perhaps this too was because the man himself believed that his sin was the cause of his disability. If Jesus had not told him that his sins were forgiven, then he would not have believed that he really was cured of his sickness. For this was the teaching. So many times in the Gospel we read that healing occurred in some sick person owing to their own faith or the faith of others, such as in Luke 7, the report of the centurion and his sick servant. It was most unusual for a man to have concern for the welfare of a servant. It was the faith of the centurion, not that of his servant, that Jesus remarked on, and which resulted in the sick man being healed. Your faith has made you whole. In this case, the faith of the man's friends caused the paralytic's recovery. We gather that only faith is responsible and the faith of someone else is sometimes necessary, and it's being just as effective as that of the person, sick person themselves. Faith in what? That the love of God for us all and his infinite power. As St. Ambrose says, "Mighty is the Lord who pardons one man for the good deed of another, and while he approves of the one, he forgives the other his sins." In the case of the paralytic, he too must have believed, or he would not have agreed to going to the extraordinary lengths in being taken up onto the roof and lowered down, having to trust in the ingenuity and strength and skill of his friends. As Pharisees argued that sin is the cause of sickness, so when Jesus cured him, then logically they would have to admit that his sins were forgiven too, and that therefore Jesus was acting in the very least as and for and with God. I believe that if some person has done me wrong and I am to follow in the steps of my Lord, I must forgive them totally, no matter how difficult it is. God says that our sins will be forgiven as we have forgiven others. When I was a child, I found this a problem because I was taught that my own sins were forgiven by God only if I said that I was repentant and actually felt remorse. But I must forgive anyone who had done me any wrong to me, no matter what. This appeared to be greatly unfair. It was not until I was older that I learnt that this was not an unfair problem at all, when I realised that my sins were actually forgiven before I even admitted them, and that all I had to do was to accept that forgiveness and try to improve. The Pharisees, like so many people today, believe that God alone can forgive sins, which is true, and he cannot sin himself. But they do not believe God when he gives others, who like everyone else may not be entirely free of sin themselves, the power to forgive sin. We are all anxious to recover when we are sick in mind and body, but perhaps we are not so quick to consider the remedy when our soul is sick. When we feel unwell in our body, we might hurry to a doctor for an appointment. But maybe we tarry about going to the sacrament of reconciliation, to the heavenly doctor, through his representatives, who can heal us immediately and bring us the joy and exuberance that are expressed in the Psalms and readings of today.